Yo, what's going on, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of Hashtag CB99 Talks. Of course, I'm Combo Breaker 99 in this episode 46. It's been a while since I did an episode with just me. You know, it's just me flying solo. No interviews. I know, but like, what, the past 3 weeks was just like interview episodes. But yeah, man, I'm back with another episode with y'all. You know, just want to talk about some different things over the past few weeks and some common things that just come up in combat sports that, you know, I just want to speak on. And first up, you know, I just want to go back and do a little quick weekend recap, you know, just a brief mention of the fights that took place. But the main topic today, I just want to go back and talk about the flyweight rankings. You know, I want to go down the updated list of flyweight rankings and just kind of talk about them again, because, you know, I talked about them on a live stream last night. But I want to go back and just kind of speak on the different fighters that should be in the top 15, as well as just how serious we can take the flyweight rankings, how serious we can take the rankings, period, in the UFC. You know, in some cases, it's like we can look at the rankings and say, okay, this fighter should be here, but are they in the right spot? You know, that's the questions that we usually be asking about the rankings. So we're going to talk about the rankings today. And the main theme of this episode is goals, G-O-A-L-S, goals, having a goal in combat sports. And the perfect example I wanted to bring up, you know, that was, you know, kind of getting a lot of buzz over the past weekend was Miranda Maverick's situation, you know, calling out Valentina, and not even really like calling out Valentina, but just mentioning Valentina Shevchenko as far as her end game. You know, I've talked about this before, but I just want to bring up, you know, Miranda Maverick's statements that she made and why it's important to have a goal as a fighter. You know, so yeah, goals is like the main theme of this episode. It's not going to be a long episode either. You know, I'm not going to be on here forever talking about this particular topic. But last up, the jab. The jab. That, how you get better at the jab, and how do you understand that the jab is the best weapon in any combat sport? It's repetition. And I'm going to talk about the jab again and again and again and again in videos, podcasts, and live streams. Wherever I feel fit to talk about the jab, I'm going to bring it up. And ain't nothing you can do about it. I'm going to bring it up until you get it into your heads as casual fans that the jab is the key. And for the jab, the perfect example, I'm going to use the highlight finish of the episode. I'm going to combine the topics. So the highlight finish of the episode, I'll give y'all at the end. And yeah, I'm going to put that together with the jab topic. So yeah, man, going back up, we had a pretty good weekend of fights. You know, I watched some Titan FC last Friday, some LFA 99. Shout out to Flora Hani. She was able to win her LFA debut on Friday against Valerie Soto. That was a good fight, good showcase for her. And then, of course, you know, there were some good boxing matches that took place, which I'm going to start, you know, I'm going to start talking about some more boxing episodes. You know, I'm going to definitely start either like doing separate episodes of boxing. They just got to start showing me some, you know, they just got to really start bringing back some topics worth talking about, which I do have some, which I'll probably do next week, though, you know. What else? We had, of course, UFC 258. That was the main highlight of last Saturday. Of course, as far as WMMA coverage, it was the co-main event between Macy Barber and Alexa Grasso, and, you know, Valerie Martin versus Poliana Viana. That was a good strawweight fight. But real quick, I'll give you my thoughts on this episode about Macy Barber versus Alexa Grasso. As far as the fight as a co-main event, I think it was good for WMMA. You know, it was good for WMMA as a whole just to kind of put that type of fight on. But as far as, how could we say, as far as like significance, it wasn't really like a major fight, though. I think there could have been some other better fights that could have been a co-main event, even for men. You know, I think that, you know, Macy coming off a year layoff, it wasn't like a major fight that people wanted. I think it was more so the UFC trying to push her and market her as like a big fighter. But when she went in there, they completely ignored Alexa Grasso, and Alexa Grasso just stole that shine, you know? So it was kind of a bad setup on the UFC in some ways to put that as a co-main event. Again, I liked it just to put the women on, you know, put the women in the spotlight. But I think there could have been some other better fights they could have picked, you know, to be that co-main event. Because again, you know, Macy Barber coming off a year layoff, she didn't really have she had the fire to go in there and win, but she didn't really have the skill set to go in there and perform like we felt like Dana White felt she was going to. you know, she was the heavy favorite, you know, amongst the hardcore fans. We was all like, Alexa Grasso's got a great chance, you know, and I picked Alexa Grasso to win. And that's pretty much how it went. And now it kind of backfires on Dana. And now some of the comments like DC are making, they're like, oh, yeah, I used to call her the Mexican Ronda Rousey. You know, she was the next Mexican Ronda Rousey, or, you know, oh, yeah, she's one of the best pure boxers. Now it just kind of makes some of the things they say look a little bit, you know, how would you say, patronizing a little bit. See, if they would have played it on an even playing field, then people would have been like, okay, this was a good competitive fight. You know, Alexa Grasso, wow, this girl is good. You know, but they just kind of ignored Alexa Grasso, put the spotlight on Macy Barber. And, you know, the documentaries, everything was kind of done on her. And everybody, media was kind of focused on her. So now it just kind of makes it look a little shabby in some ways. You know, like I said, hardcore fans, we knew Alexa was going to win. You know, Alexa went in there, put the clinic on her for 2 rounds. And it wasn't necessarily her boxing that everybody was talking about that won her the fight. It was really her jiu-jitsu and her grappling. You know, because to me, this was the most impressive she's ever looked on the inside and on the ground. To me, I think that her boxing's looked impressive in some of her other fights. But in this fight, she was using some good control, upper body strength. You know, almost submitted her 2 times, almost submitted Macy twice. You know, she went in for an armbar attempt. She almost got the rear naked choke at the end of one of the rounds. I think it was the 2nd round. So, you know, she was really in there just showcasing like a little bit of everything in this fight and how comfortable she was. I mean, it wasn't until the 3rd round where Alexa Grasso, where I was talking about that kill switch she needs, she should have went in there and closed the show on an on Russian Macy Barber. Like, I feel like the opportunity was there. You know, she just went in there and set up some good counters, you know, set up some good traps, landed some good overhand rights. She probably could have knocked Macy Barber out as Macy was, you know, swinging those home run hitters. But Macy, like, the one thing about her I could say that I've always said about her is there's no quit in the girl. You know, if she could like get her skill level up to her heart and her strength and her bravery in there and her killer instinct, if she could get those things that you could learn up to those things that can't be taught, she'd be a force. She would definitely be a force in there, you know, but I think it's just something she got to go back to the drawing board and really work on, find the gym that suits her. And they need to kind of craft her into a fighter that she needs to be, you know, going off her characteristics, you know, just kind of breaking her down. You know, she's a power puncher, good stand up fighter. She's still young, you know, so they need to work on that physical strength, work on the cardio if she wants to be a striker. Just make her more of a calculated puncher, work on technique so she can start setting up her right hands more so. So there's just so many things you can kind of work with her. You know, the want level is high in her. You know, she has killer instinct. So make her more of like a pressure slugger. Just different things you could do with her. You know, you just kind of have to work off her attitude and her work ethic. You know, just so many different things. As far as Alexa Grasso, you know, like I said, I talked about this. I said I'll bring it up one more time on this episode. You know, DC, he went as far as to say Alexa Grasso was one of the best pure boxers. I don't think she's like the best boxer in WMMA, but she's one of the better boxers. She's definitely one of the better boxers that you could say put the gloves on her right now, just going off her stance and put her in the boxing ring and she can compete with boxers, even maybe win a world title in boxing. But when you're talking about best pure boxer in WMMA, you have to back it up by winning the majority of your fights against elite opponents with boxing. You know, you actually have to go in there and outbox fighters. You know, you're in the top 10. You know, you have to outbox a Macy Barber for 3 rounds and maybe stop her, outbox Viviana Arujo, outbox Caitlin Chikagan, and then we'll call you one of the best boxers. And then eventually when you get to the title shot, maybe beat Valentina by outboxing her, or if you come up short and give her a tough fight, then once again, we could still give you that label as one of the best boxers. But I think it's too early to call her one of the best pure boxers. She is a pure boxer, though. She definitely has that skill set, though. She definitely has that those great fundamentals about her. They just need to be tested against better opponents. So, yeah, that was a good fight. But The main events would really set it off, and that's what's going to be my highlight finish. So I'll go ahead and spoil that for y'all now. So I'm going to save that for the end. So yeah, let's jump to the flyweight. Let's talk the flyweight rankings, the new updates here. I talked about it on live stream last night, but I just kind of want to go through here one more time and kind of clean it up. The flyweight rankings, I want to talk about them, man, from the bottom up. I want to talk about number 15 and number one and just kind of match them up, see who's got a fight, see who needs to fight, and who needs to be out of the rankings, really. You know, because there's been kind of a big shakeup since Alexa Grasso beat Macy Barber. So let's start from number 15 and go up to the champion, see who has an upcoming fight and who we should match him up with. So first up, number 15, Macy Barber. Macy Barber drops 5 spaces after losing to Alexa Grasso. So she's nearly out of there, man. So she's really got to work. This has to be an active year for her, in my opinion. You know, if everything is good as far as her ACL and there's no other injuries, she needs to get back in there as soon as possible against a non-ranked opponent just to hold on to that 15 spot. You know, she needs to really start working and grinding. You know, that last fight out with Macy, with Alexa, it didn't really do much for her as far as her skill set, you know, as far as her showcasing her skill set. Now, the last round, as far as her toughness, it was there. But as far as her skill set, no. So number 15 is Macy Barber. She drops 5 spaces from 10 to 15. Number 14 is Antonina Shevchenko, still holding her spot down. Then number 13, we got Taylor Santos, who, you know, I feel like is going to be a big threat for the top 10. You know, I got my trifecta. I got my trifectas between Taylor Santos, Manon Firo, and Miranda Maverick. You know, granted, if Miranda Maverick gets through Jillian Robertson. So, yeah, Taylor Santos, definitely somebody to look out for in that top 10. Number 12. Now, see, number 12 dropped 1 space. Last week, she was 11, is Andrea Lee. Andrea Lee, man, like, she's one of the fighters I feel like needs to be out of there, or she needs to be 15. Like, hell, I would rank Antonina Shevchenko over Andrea Lee right now, just off of activity and the opponents they face. I mean, Andrea Lee was supposed to face Jillian Robertson, but she had to pull out of that fight because of a broken nose. She's on a 3-fight losing streak right now. Matter of fact, let's pull that up right now. I just want to see when was the last time she fought exactly. I know who she lost to. Roxanne, Lauren, and JoJo. But let's see when she was exactly in the octagon. September 12, 2020. All right, so yeah. Last time out, she lost the unanimous decision to Roxanne. Before that, Lauren. Before that, JoJo. So how is she still number 12? You know, that's the question. How do they still have her at number 12? She's a fighter I feel like needs to be dropped down to 15 or just be out of the rankings in activity. And number 11 is crazy. It's Alexis Davis. She actually moved up one spot. She moved up from 12 to 11. She actually elevated over Andrea Lee. And she's actually kind of in the same position. Like, I really don't know how Alexa Davis could elevate over Andrea Lee, even though Andrea Lee's on her 3-fight losing streak, because Alexa Davis is on a 3-fight losing streak. Okay? And she hasn't fought since July of 2019. So she's been out of the octagon going on 2 years pretty soon, a year and a half right now. So that's another thing about the rankings. That's why I'm saying you can't really take them seriously, because look, Alexa Davis, almost 2 years inactive, 3-fight losing streak to Caitlin Chikeg and Jennifer Maya and Viviana Arujo. Why is she still number 11? Why is she one spot? Why is she one step away from the top 10? That's crazy. Taylor Santos should probably be at number 11. And Antonina Shevchenko should be 12. Whereas Andrea Lee should be number 15. And Macy Barber should be number 14. Alexis Davis should probably be out of there right now. Because to make matters worse, Alexis Davis, her next fight is going to be a bantamweight against Sabina Mazo. That's another thing. Think about that. So, yeah, man. So that's the 11 through 15 going up the top 10. Alexa Grasso breaks in at number 10. Alexa Grasso breaks in at number 10 after her win. She jumped up 5 spots. She took that number 10 spot from Macy Barber. Then you got number 9 on Roxanne Modafferi. Last fight out, she lost to Viviana Arujo. She's not matched up yet. Number 8, you got Jessica I, lost to JoJo. Number 7, you got Viviana Arujo, who's scheduled to fight Caitlin Kagan. JoJo Calderwood at number 6, who may be fighting Lauren Murphy. Number 5, you got Cynthia Calvillo, who's out on a shoulder injury. So we'll see how long she holds on to that number five spot. Number four, you got Jennifer Maya. Number three, Lauren Murphy. Number two, Caitlin Chookagian. Number one, Jessica Andrade. And the champ, Valentina Shevchenko. So interesting, man. Like, interesting down there from number 10 through 15, just the rankings from there. Like, I'm not going to lie, 1 through 10 makes sense, but 11 through 15 is just kind of off. It just seems like they kind of just threw names in there and gave them a ranking. Like Alexis Davis, I'm telling you, and Andrea Lee need to be 14 and 15. Taylor Santos might need to be number 11 or 12 at this point, just off of activity and the opponents they face. So the rankings just don't really make sense sometimes. And I think that's why people don't really take them seriously. Unless you have the belt, then yeah, you are number one. But like up in the top three sometimes, even the top three don't make sense sometimes. But it does in the flyweight division, but even like the bantamweight division, I think like they're a little off sometimes with how they give people title opportunities. I remember Aspen Ladd was number three in the bantamweight division at a time, which I don't know how. So yeah, they just need to kind of switch these things up a little bit and make them make sense for us, you know. But as far as Alexis Davis, yeah, got to go, man. Got to go. Next fight's a bantamweight too. Alexa Grasso, I think I would match her up with somebody like Jennifer Maya next. Like, breaking into that top 10, I would put her in there with Jennifer Maya or Jessica I. Either one of them fights just to see if that could break her into number 7 or 6. Then maybe a couple more fights to get her to a title shot. But I don't really see anybody else as far as like non-deserving of their spot from number 1 through 6. But yeah, that's just the rankings. I just kind of want to go back with y'all and give you my thoughts on it here on this episode. If y'all missed it last night, I just think that sometimes you can't take them seriously. And between 11 through 15, some of them need to be out of there, you know, and they need to switch them up. Maybe put Manon Firo in there. You know, she's a former champion from her organization. And she came in and blasted out her opponent, you know, who was a contender series winner. So that should stand for something, you know. So if I had my way, one more time, final thoughts. If I had my way, I would probably push Antonina maybe up to 12. Now put Taylor Santos up at 12 and Antonina at maybe 14. And then drop Alexis Davis and Andrea Lee down to 14 and 15 or maybe out of there and push Macy Barber up one notch up. So, yeah. Give me y'all thoughts though on the flyweight rankings. What y'all think, man? I just think sometimes it don't really make any sense, you know, with rankings. It is kind of like a fan favorite thing. They don't really just go off a resume. So yeah, guys, let me know what y'all think. But yeah, man, let's jump to this next topic here. Goals. You know, goals are very important in the game, man. Look, very important because for one, if a fighter has a goal, we know what they're shooting for. Well, not just us, but the fighter does. You know, you have to kind of go in there and say, look, this is what I want. This is who I want to fight. And this is what I want to eventually get out of the game. You know, and it's smart whenever a fighter thinks that way, because usually when a fighter thinks in goals and they set goals for themselves and accomplish them and they keep moving up, they get somewhere. They're the fighters that become something. You know, they have like a blueprint. They have a hit list of fighters they want that's going to get them where they need to be. Those are the type of fighters you want to train, or those are the type of fighters that you train. You train it in them to say, look, fighting isn't going to be forever. This isn't going to be your career forever. There has to be an end game to it. So right now, tell me what you want before we start working. What do you really want to do? What do you really want to get out of a fighter? What do you really want to get out of fighting? That's why I ask some of these fighters that this when I do interviews with them. I'm like, what's your end game with fighting? Like, what is the goal that you want out of fighting? You know, that's why I usually ask these fighters, because I'm curious. You know, I don't want to just hear them say, oh, I'm just here to fight to get a paycheck. No, man, that's what's supposed to separate you from just being a 9-to-5 worker, or like a fighter that just, or a worker that's just sitting in a cubicle all day. You know, you're supposed to be that person that says, I want to be champion. I want to be the best they can be. I know everybody can't be champion, but at least if everybody had that mindset, I think they would get something. I think they would get more than they usually get out of fighting, if that makes sense. You know, so real quick, like I said, I wanted to use Miranda Maverick as an example. As y'all know, Miranda Maverick, she was asked a few questions by media about her goals in the game, you know, about eventually becoming champion, you know, and in a nutshell, you know, Miranda Maverick said that eventually one day she wants to fight Valentina Shevchenko. She sees some holes in her game. And she thinks she could expose them one day. You know, like, she didn't come straight out and say, oh, man, I can beat Valentina today. But she lets you know that's her end game. And right away, I think a lot of people, they gave her flack for it. Some people went as far as to change their pick and say they would rather Jillian Robertson win, which I think was kind of, you know, that was kind of dirty. You know, I just felt like, man, why y'all got to do that, man? Because, like, Miranda Maverick is actually talking like we want her to talk. That's what I'm saying. Like, sometimes the casual fan or just fans in general, they can be so fickle. Like, one minute you want people to call somebody out, but when they call them out, you get mad. Then in the next light, when they don't call out for smoke, they're called ducks. You know, so it's that same situation. You know, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. So for me, Miranda Maverick, I just want to see her do what she want to do, say what she want to say, and continue to accomplish what she wants. Because real quick, we can look at what she said too here. I just want to pull out some key points too, as far as like describing what type of fighter she is too as well, because that'll tell you what type of goals she has and that she's a goal-oriented fighter. All right, so here she said, look, I'm kind of a freakishly planned out about everything, whether it be current or future. I'm very good at planning out what I want with my life, what I want with my career. And it's funny that some people took offense to me saying that, unlike a lot of other fighters. They see, I have a backdrop. So one more time, let me read that again for y'all. If y'all didn't hear me, y'all didn't hear that. Listen, I'm kind of freakishly planned out about everything, whether it be current or future. I'm very good at planning out what I want with my life, what I want with my career. And it's funny that some people took offense to me saying that, unlike a lot of fighters, I have a backdrop. I wasn't meaning to be insulting necessarily, but I want an education. I want to have other career paths. If my knee gets messed up in a fight, I won't have to struggle along for the rest of my life trying to make a living. I want to have a good future financially. Okay? So, yeah, look, that's what you want to hear from a fighter. You know, in the fight game, you have to kind of have that plan B. You know, some people say, oh, no, don't have a plan B. You got to go straight for plan A and stick to it. I think that works with certain things like entertainment. If you really want to be an actor, you want to be a movie star, whatever, stay on that path. Don't think of a plan B. But the fight game, it could go up just like that. I mean, same with like NFL or whatever. You know, you could get your knee blown out, career ending injury. So you do have to have a plan B with any type of sports. That's real. You know, so her thing is, look, I don't know why people take offense to this, but I have an end game. You know, I have an end game. So next up, let's see. I want to be done with fighting by the time I'm in my early 30s. I don't want to be like I'm top 50 when I'm 35 years old, like a few people I know do. They're really excited to be recognized at that age. And for me, I'm 23. I want to be in the top 10 by the time I'm 24, at least. I'm ready to get to the top, make my mark, make my money, and move on with my life. I don't want to get brain damage. I don't want to just have that one thing going for me when I'm ready to have a family, kids, and things, and not have to go back to fighting to make a living. So I want to be done when I'm in my early 30s and move on to other things. All right. So again, not much to analyze there. You've heard champions in the past say that. You know, you heard like Andre Ward say that. You've heard other boxers say that. Floyd Mayweather, you know. So having that mindset, I think, is really what's going to help you achieve that goal. You know, because you know what you're shooting for. And like she said, she don't want to be top 50 when she's like in her mid 30s. That's how some fighters think. You know, some fighters just continue to fight as a career. But like I said, combat sports has an end game for you. You know, this is a young man's sport. Only if you're like a freak of nature and you're in your 40s or 50s can you still compete. But the majority of the time, By the time you are 34, 35, you're out of your prime. You're done. You're slow. Your reflexes are gone. So you have to have that mindset to say, if I want to fight, then I got to be done at this time. You know, I got to be done at this time. So let me make sure I can get what I want in this career in this amount of time. So she spaced that out, made her goals and said, okay, if I plan on staying up to my 30s, being in my top 10, my 24, I can kind of measure out who I need to fight and when I'll get a championship fight, right? Makes sense. So, yeah, all of that makes sense. Well, let's see what else she had said about Valentina that kind of triggered some people. Hold on here. All right, here we go. She also said this, look, I certainly don't think it's the next fight, but hopefully in a few fights within the next couple of years. It's funny, people were picking on me like, oh, another person calling out Valentina. I didn't really call her out. That's just where I want to be at some point. Okay. Next thing she said, but I think I have this grappling background that is almost stronger than any other girl in this division, where I can go in there and wrestle them, use my jiu-jitsu and get finishes. They didn't talk a lot about that in my last fight, which I found amusing just because JoJua had this background and how many finishes she had by armbar. Nobody's talking about the five finishes I have, armbar, rear naked choke, and everything else. So with that said, she made some good points once again. Look, her end game is Valentina, right? That's what every fighter's end game should be, the person with the belt. Valentina Shevchenko has the belt. That's the person who she wants to fight. She's not calling her out right now, but she's letting you know that's her goal. And again, she's a goal-oriented person. Much like with school, you got to like it at school, actually, because, you know, you're only in school for a certain amount of years. So Miranda Maverick said this before after the JoJua fight. She has a two-year plan. Her two-year plan was to, you know, take on a few fights, get her way into the top 10, and eventually fight for the title whenever she graduates from school. So right there, I don't think she could have said it any clearer. They're very similar, right? She wants to graduate from school the same way she wants to graduate in the flyweight division. You know, and that should be everybody's goal. Like, you don't want to be a career student for the rest of your life, right? You don't want to be a career fighter for the rest of your life, right? You should want to go for that gold, graduate, and be done with it. And that's her plan. You know, like me, like if I'm fighting, I'm going to have a goal for it. I'm gonna just not just to fight to stay in the rankings and keep fighting and fighting and fighting for the rest of my life. No, like I want to fight, build a brand, call out the champion, hopefully win the belt. And then after that, make a brand for myself and then say I'm done. So what better way could she have made it clear? Like, that's my end game. You know, it wasn't like she was trying to call her out. Now she's saying that's my end game, just like graduating from school. I want to graduate, hold my hands up and say I won the same way I want to do in the flyweight division. So yeah, I just want to go back through and kind of liken that to the situation, you know, the same situation Miranda had, and you know, how I feel about fighters that need goals. You know, I think there's a lot of fighters in here now in WMMA, in MMA, that don't really have like a goal. They just think that it's fun to fight. It's just fun to train and keep doing that. But at the same time, they don't understand that they're just living off paycheck to paycheck with these fights. You know, they're not really like putting away or thinking about the end game, where they might have a torn ACL or they might get brain damage and they won't be able to fight. Then whenever their career is cut short, they don't have that money. You know, some of these fighters aren't thinking of that. They're not putting away that nest egg or thinking of that rainy day that's coming. So I'm just more so respectful of a fighter like Miranda Maverick that has that on her mind, that she's thinking of an end game. Because that's how I think every fighter should think. You know, every fighter should have a goal. So, yeah, let me know in the comment section what y'all think about that. I didn't mean to go on too long. You know, I just kind of want to break it down, like I said, because there's too many fighters out here. And there's too many fans out here, too, that are fickle. Like I said, they give fighters crap when they call out a certain person. But then when they don't, they call them ducks. So I like Miranda's game plan. You know, 2 years, challenge for the belt. And, you know, graduate just like she wants to do in school. That's what everybody should be doing. You know, if you're in school, you're not going to school just to take classes. You're going to school to find out what you want to do and graduate and be done with it. All right. You know, same with fighting. She has that goal. That's what people in the top 10 need to be doing. They need to be following her path. And she's not even ranked yet. You know, she's not even ranked yet, but nobody else is really having that game plan and saying, look, I want to be done by my early 30s. Hell, a lot of them are in the 30s now. So yeah, man. Last up, highlight finish of the episode. You know how to give it to. You know how to give it to. Kamaru Usman versus Gilbert Burns, the main event UFC 258. Usman went in there, scored a third round knockout over Gilbert Burns. With what? What did he use? The JAB. The jab is the key. That's right. Kamaru Usman, he went in there, scored a third round stoppage after a scary start against Gilbert Burns. After just staying cool, calm, collected, finding his technique through a foggy brain, through shaky legs. And that piece of technique that he used, just one simple thing, that jab. That jab was probably one of the best jabs I've seen in MMA, man. I was just like, Kamaru Usman, who's not even a boxer or an elite striker, but he's somebody that's been really working on his striking, went in there and just took that one simple jab and shut down Gilbert Burns' offense in round two. I mean, the first round, we saw how it went. Very shaky first round. Gilbert Burns landed some good right hands, put Kamaru Usman on wobbly legs. We all thought there was a moment that he was going to get stopped in there, but by the end of the round, he started picking it up just by throwing out that jab. He said, okay, look, I'm not going to go to the ground with him. I'm not going to go to the ground with Gilbert Burns. I need to get my legs back, but at the same time, I need to let him know that I'm still in the fight. So how do you do that? Start sticking out that jab. He's sticking out a good offensive jab, knocking Gilbert Burns back, waking him up, letting him know that, look, I'm here. I'm on the way back. Second round, he goes in there, starts working that jab again. But that jab opens up a big right hand from Kamaru Usman. He drops Gilbert Burns. Gilbert Burns gets back up. He gets worked with that jab once again throughout the round. That one shotgun jab was just putting Gilbert Burns on wobbly legs and just open up a nice offense from Kamaru Usman. Going into that third round, opening seconds, Kamaru Usman switches to southpaw, lands a good straight right jab, drops Gilbert Burns, jumps on him with the hammer fist, bounces that head off the canvas, and just finishes him. I was like, wow, man. I was just really, like, impressed the way Kamaru Usman took that one simple jab. Like, it wasn't like his wrestling. It wasn't his clinching. He didn't try to take Gilbert Burns down and try to, you know, muscle him or clinch him or use elbows or anything big on the inside or on the outside. He wasn't doing anything too fancy. It was just that one jab that was opening up all of these other weapons for him, all these other opportunities. And that's what I'm talking about. Like, the jab is the key, man. Like, I talk about this in so many videos where you got to go in there, stick to a nice jab, and that jab is going to open up a lot of opportunities for you. You know, something so straight and simple can get you so much in life. You know, that's how people need to be with their facts and what they say sometimes. Just be straight down the pipe. Don't hold back. You say it that way, it's going to open up other opportunities, you know, for other things. So, yeah, man, like, shout out to Kamaru Usman. Another proof on why he's pound for pound, one of the top fighters today in MMA. And how did he do that? Just with that one simple weapon, that JAB, man. From here, if he wants to fight Jorge Masvidal, I'm cool with that. I'm really cool with that. You know what I mean? If he wants to get a big payday out of that fight and, you know, doesn't want to hear any more excuses from Jorge Masvidal, then make the fight happen. You know, make the fight happen. But, yeah, man, I'm pretty much wrapped up a little bit earlier than I thought I would be. Just give me your thoughts on everything I talked about, you know, the flyweight rankings, goals as a fighter, on what Miranda Maverick said about her end game. I think it makes sense to me. Again, my final thoughts, I think every fighter should have a goal. You know, you can't be a fighter forever. You can't be a career fighter. I mean, you can, but you see how some fighters turn out. So you just got to go in there from the jump and say, this is what I want. Plan it out, and that's what you shoot for. You know, and again, man, shout out to Kamaru Usman. Jab is important. I think everybody needs to know how to throw this jab. Everybody from boxers down to wrestlers, the grapplers, the jab will get you what you want. But yeah, man, what else we got? This weekend, another fight week, Shannon Dobson versus Casey O'Neill, who's making her debut in the UFC. We'll check out that fight this Saturday. And Yana Konaskaya versus Ketlin Vieira. That's going to be a good bantamweight fight. So, yeah, man, let me know in the comment section if you think y'all's going to win that fight. Both of those fights, I don't really have picks for them. I'm not really going to do a prediction for those fights. But, yeah, that's all I got, guys. Again, you know, thanks for my new subscribers. I'm going to be dropping a website, putting all these episodes on an archive pretty soon. I'm working on it. I actually got a logo coming, too, you know, for hashtag CB99Talks. I got the logo being worked on by one of my mans. So let me get that done, and they'll have the website up. But yeah, guys, make sure y'all subscribe here. Make sure y'all follow me on Instagram, All Box and Everything, and Combo Breaker 99. And yeah, check out the Jab Podcast. Just go to iTunes or any Spotify, Stitcher, any of those platforms. Go to any of those platforms and type in hashtag Jab Podcast. That's my boxing podcast. Check that out, guys. Combo Breaker 99. I'm out. Y'all be safe. Peace.